Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten, for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light, the National Broadcasting Company, and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, A Fruitful Vine, was written by Joseph Mindell. On the ground before the silver throne awaiting the entrance of Zaphenath, lord over Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. It was the Egyptian custom, and for myself I didn't mind it. But I could see Reuben's majestic beard touched with gray sweeping the earth. Judah with his lion's mane, Levi, Naphtali, Asher, all 10 of them my brothers, lying on the ground. It was not dignified.
How long will he keep us waiting?
Quiet, Judah.
Are we slaves to grovel in the dust while he perfumes his beard?
Judah was always impatient. I don't know how much longer Reuben could have restrained him.
He's coming. Now, Judah, remember to control yourself.
I know, Reuben.
Please, get up.
Our eyes are dazzled by your splendor, O mighty Lord.
All right. Come now, get up.
We are greatly honored.
There, that's better.
We have brought you presents from Jacob, our father. Hammered silver, precious stones.
Very nice. Thank you, Reuben. Your brother? What about the youngest brother?
I am Benjamin, my lord.
You've brought him. Benjamin. Little Benjamin.
Is something wrong, my lord?
It's nothing at all. A speck in my eye that makes it water. Nothing more, only a speck.
Perhaps a little cold water.
My lord, our brother Simeon, whom you are holding hostage. Not hostage, Judah. It was only to make sure that you would return with Benjamin. I've sent for Simeon.
Then we ask permission to leave.
So soon? There's no hurry.
Our father is anxious about Benjamin.
Is he? I can understand that. But you wanted to buy food.
We do, my lord. Our crops have failed again this year, and there is famine in our country.
You shall have all the grain your animals can carry, and you will not pay for it.
We can afford to pay.
Don't be proud, Judah. Besides, I insist, you will have the grain and presents, too.
We thank you, my lord.
Not at all. Give your sacks to my servants to be filled.
If it please you, we will go to the granary ourselves to save time.
No. While you wait, we will eat together.
I have explained, my lord. Jacob, our father, is worried about Benjamin.
Judah, you will not refuse my hospitality.
My lord.
Judah. My lord. We will not refuse.
I'm happy, Reuben. Sit down, all of you. Benjamin, you sit beside me. We will eat together, and then you will go home to Jacob, your father.
Hurry, Benjamin. You're lagging behind.
I was thinking of him, Judah. Of the Egyptian. A strange man.
He's an Egyptian. Do you think you seem less strange to him?
Why should he cry? He said it was something in his eye, but he was crying.
Maybe it was the sight of you. Little Benjamin.
Go on, laugh. I know. I have 10 sons and a middle-aged paunch.
Little Benjamin.
Now, that's another thing. Only our father calls me that. No, there was someone else, but it was long ago.
If you mean Joseph, why don't you say so?
Does it still upset you, after so many years, to be reminded of Joseph?
You talk too much, Benjamin.
Do I?
Maybe I do. I wonder what presents he put in our sacks. And why wouldn't he take money for the grain? I don't understand.
You don't have to. We have the food. Simeon is free. That's enough.
Look at Simeon. For a hostage, he was certainly well fed and well cared for. What did he want with Simeon?
You heard. It was only till we brought you to prove we weren't spies.
And that's what he said, but how does it prove you're not spies if you bring me?
Once and for all, Benjamin, will you be still and hurry?
All right. Only between you and me, Judah, I'm in no hurry to get home.
I'll feel safer when we're out of Egypt.
It's all very well for you and the others.
Stop! In Pharaoh's name, stop!
You're free to go where you like, but Jacob has kept me bound to his side.
Stop your caravan!
So it's not yet finished.
Is this how you repay hospitality?
What do you mean? We've done nothing.
Do you call it nothing to steal the silver drinking cup of the Lord Zephaneth?
We're not thieves. You can tell the Lord Zephaneth
that... Judah, I'll do the talking.
This is too much, Reuben. First he calls us spies and holds Simeon hostage. Now he accuses us of stealing.
I am the eldest, Judah. I'll talk. Sir, my brother means no disrespect. As he said, we do not steal.
Yet the cup is missing.
If you find it in the sacks of any of us, then take us all as slaves of the Lord Zephaneth.
Good. Sergeant, search them.
That was a rash bargain you made, Reuben.
Honest men have nothing to fear, Benjamin.
Aha, the cup! Here in the sack.
In my sack?
Benjamin.
Oh, don't be a fool, Reuben. Of course I didn't steal it. Do you know, Reuben? I had a feeling we would see him again. The Lord Zephaneth.
What made you do such a thing?
What shall we say, my lord?
Did you think I wouldn't know it, Judah?
I do not understand what happened.
It's quite clear. The cup, my cup was in Benjamin's sack.
We are not thieves,
my lord.
Now you are about to deny the theft, Benjamin.
I was about to say, the lord of all Egypt must have hundreds of silver cups. It's surprising that you noticed this particular one was gone.
That has nothing to do with it. Nobody likes to have his things stolen.
My lord, the presents you gave us were worth much more than the cup. Why should we steal it?
You're very clever, Benjamin. I won't hear another word. Listen to me, all of you. You made a promise to my captain before he searched you.
We gave our word, my lord.
I'm a reasonable man. The cup was found with Benjamin. He will stay. The rest of you are free. Go in peace.
My lord, let me speak.
By all means, Judah, speak.
When we came to Egypt the first time, you asked about our father. Now I will tell you. He is an old man, and he had two sons of his old age. Benjamin and another.
How strangely you put it. Yet I know exactly what you mean.
Now only Benjamin is left. And if he too is lost, Jacob, our father, will surely die. Let him go.
The cup was found in Benjamin's sack.
My lord, in our country, in Canaan, Jacob is a king and I am a king's son. I am not accustomed to plead or to beg. My lord, keep me here. Keep us all. Only let Benjamin go.
My brothers. My brothers.
We ask it for Jacob, our father.
Come closer. Look at me.
Don't you know who I am?
You are the mighty Zephaneth who holds life in his hand.
Judah, I am your brother. I am Joseph.
No.
I am Joseph, whom you threw in the pit 20 years ago or more and sold into Egypt. Come close and let me kiss you.
No!
I'm not angry. I forgive you for what you did.
You are generous, Joseph.
Look around you. Look at me. This is my palace, my throne. My brothers, why would I bear you a grudge?
You've done well in Egypt.
Maybe it was meant to be this way, that I was to be the first.
Always the first.
To come before you, to prepare. Don't you see? There's famine in Canaan, but in Egypt there is plenty. Go, bring Jacob, our father, and your families. You will live here and I will feed you. Go and return quickly. But first, give me your hands, my brothers.
We will do as you say, Joseph. We will tell Jacob that you are... We'll tell him what we have learned.
Judah, you won't take my hand.
But I will.
Benjamin. Joseph. Welcome back.
Hurry, Benjamin.
He won't send soldiers after us this time, Judah.
What makes you so sure?
He's not Zephaneth now, but Joseph, your brother. You don't have to be afraid.
I'm not afraid.
But you're thinking that Joseph has even more reason to send his soldiers.
Don't tell me what I am thinking.
Because it was your hand that tore the coat from him. And Simeon's that threw him into the pit. And it was Asher who took the money from the Midianite to whom you sold him.
Benjamin, you don't know anything about it. You weren't there.
No, no. I was with Jacob when you brought the coat of many colors covered with blood. Was it goat's blood? Oh, but you don't have to be afraid.
I'm not, I tell you.
Because Joseph has said he forgives you.
I didn't ask to be forgiven.
You aren't afraid, Judah. You're angry.
Now stop quarreling, you two. I've been thinking how to tell Jacob.
Oh, good news is easy to tell, Reuben.
I'm afraid the shock may be too great for him.
I don't think so. Reuben, I think the shock is great for my brothers.
When we told Jacob, he closed his eyes for a moment. And when he opened them, he was revived.
It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will see him before I die.
Then he rose, he and his son's children, Jacob and all his seed, journeyed from Canaan over into the land of Egypt. When Joseph saw him, he fell on Jacob's neck and wept a good while. There were many who shed tears, and each no doubt had his reasons, but Jacob sent them all away and remained alone with his son Joseph. Having talked of the past, they let it rest and spoke of what was now.
I'll show you my house, father, and the storeroom.
Oh, it is not necessary, my son. I see that you have done well in Egypt.
All will be well for you, too, and for my brothers and their families. I will provide for them.
Your brothers can provide for themselves. We can pay for what we need.
Where will you go? There is famine in Canaan, and in all the nations, except only Egypt. You know I'm right.
It is a terrible burden, my son, to be always right.
You will live in Goshen. The Pharaoh has given land for pasture and for crops. He will stay and live here with me in Egypt.
It may be easier to come into Egypt than to go out again. Still, Joseph, we have no choice. We will stay.
It pleases me, my brother, that you prosper in Egypt.
We manage.
You always were the cautious one, Reuben. I've not seen you these past weeks because I've been busy, naturally, with affairs of state.
Naturally.
Did you say something, Judah?
Nothing. Nothing.
And also because it takes time to become accustomed to a new place. I know that well. But now...
Now?
Now I invite you all to dine with me. Well... Nothing to say.
It is a great honor, Joseph.
Oh, come now, Judah, don't be so formal.
I speak only for myself. I will not...
Judah speaks what is in all our minds. There is much we have to do. Build shelters for the cattle. Prepare the fields.
You will not dine with me.
You would find us poor table companions. We fall asleep when the day's work is done.
Reuben, Judah, listen to me. All of you. I have forgotten what happened long ago. Besides, it was all for the best. My brothers, I forgive you.
Who asked you to forgive?
For our father's sake, for Jacob, let us be friends. The past is over and done.
Is it? Once you dreamed a dream, Joseph, and told it. Behold, you said, the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed down to you.
It was long ago.
All bowed down. Father and mother and 11 brothers.
It was a child's dream.
Did you think of it when we lay on the ground before the mighty Zephaneth? Did you? It's not over and done with. No, Joseph.
A child's dream long past has come to life.
Who threw me into the pit and sold me to the Midianite? And they are angry.
What did you expect, Joseph?
You too, Benjamin. You and I are the only sons of Rachel, and you are also against me.
No, I'm not against you.
Have I also done you an injury?
You're putting words in my mouth, Joseph. But even for me, it was not easy.
Then you also complain. Sheltered and pampered and loved by a father above all the sons who remained.
All who remained. You still remember to make the division, 1 and 11. Yes, Jacob kept me by his side and protected me and spoiled me and loved Joseph, who was gone. Not Benjamin, who was there.
That isn't true.
If not entirely, it's true enough. Yours was the love. But, Joseph, I did not begrudge it.
Then be my friend,
not
Benjamin.
All the years we thought you were dead, the years in which you rose in Egypt.
Not one day of those years did I forget Jacob and my brothers.
Yet you did not speak. Not even when you knew there was a famine in Canaan, everywhere except in Egypt.
I knew you would come. You would have to come.
And all bowed down to Joseph.
Did I bring it to pass? What power you give to a child's dream. Power to force men's actions and shape their lives.
Not a child's dream, but a man's silence from Egypt when Canaan mourned. And the business of spies and hostages and tricks with stolen cups and 11 brothers stretched on the ground before Joseph reveals himself.
Sometimes, in all these years, it has seemed to me as if the dream and the reality yet to come were born at the same instant, and it was only a matter of waiting.
The dream has power over the dreamer.
Does it ever end? When a dream is finished, does the anger remain?
I'm not angry, Joseph. You were the one who went away. Willingly or not, you went away, and we're alone.
Benjamin, I want to come back.
But Joseph lived at the right hand of Pharaoh, occupied with affairs of state. And we, my brothers and I, having come to the land of Egypt, we lived in Goshen, at the side of Jacob, our father, and cared for the flocks, and worked the fields. Jacob grew old, and the time came when he felt he must die, and he called Joseph to come to him.
You must swear an oath, my son.
Whatever you ask, father.
Abraham bought the field of Machpelah in the land of Canaan for a burying place.
I don't like to hear you talk of such things.
Was it I who taught you, Joseph, to be silent when it is necessary to speak?
Father...
No. It is not a question meant to be answered. There in the fields before Mamre, they buried Abraham and Sarah. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. Joseph, I want to rest there with my fathers.
It will be as you wish.
Swear it.
I swear it, father. Here in Egypt.
Listen, my son. There is another reason than an old man's longing for familiar places. In time to come, I want no one to say, this is a holy place, for Jacob is buried here, and so be reluctant to depart from Egypt. Do you understand, Joseph?
I understand.
Then I am content. My eyes are weak, Joseph. There is someone standing there against the wall.
My two sons, father.
I had not thought to see your face again, and God has let me see your sons. Bring them close to me, and I will bless them.
Manasseh, Ephraim.
Let them kneel at my outstretched hands. Yes, just so.
No, father. Your right hand should be for Manasseh. He is the firstborn.
I know it, my son. I know it. Yet leave my right hand and my left hand where they are. Manasseh shall be great, but his younger brother shall be greater than he.
No, not again the younger over the elder, the younger usurping the elder's place.
It is not a choice I am making. Or at least it is too late to choose.
You mustn't do it.
Not I, Joseph, but you.
Not again, Father.
Don't you see? You were the favorite before you were born. You were the favorite during the 7 years I labored for Rachel, during the long years she was barren. When did Ephraim become the favorite?
I won't have it. I know what it means to be the usurper.
I also had an elder brother, Esau.
Then you also know.
Yes, my son, yes. But there comes a time when there's no longer a choice, when the truth of a man's being cannot be denied. One day, a day like any other, Jacob can no longer undo what he began. And it is clear that Joseph is not like his brothers.
Why should they hate me?
Well, maybe after all, that is how it was meant to be.
I have forgiven them. Then why do they hate me?
Joseph, my son, they have done you injury. And they do not forgive you.
Jacob called all his sons, and we stood before him to hear his words.
Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the end of days. Reuben.
I am here, Father.
Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the first fruits of my strength. Yet shalt thou not have the excellency.
I have known it a long time.
Simeon and Levi are brethren, weapons of violence their kinship. Let my soul not come into their counsel, for in their anger they slew men.
It was necessary, Father. You know that it was...
Judah is a lion's whelp. Thee shall thy brethren praise. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, as long as men come to Shiloh. And unto him shall the obedience of the peoples be. Do you hear, my sons?
Yes, Father. Yes.
And me, Father. What will you say to me?
Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine by a fountain. The archers have dealt bitterly with him, and shot at him and hated him. But the Almighty shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above and blessings of the deep beneath. The blessings of thy father shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of the prince among his brethren.
When Jacob died, we carried him out into the land of Canaan, to the field of Machpelah, before Mamre. And then we returned to Egypt. And we came, 11 of us, to the palace, second only to Pharaoh's, where Joseph lived.
Welcome to my house.
They have asked me to speak for them, Joseph.
Do my brothers need a spokesman to come before me?
What they have to say is not easily said.
Then say it for them, Benjamin.
Jacob, our father, is dead.
I mourned as they mourned.
They wish now to acknowledge that once they did you evil.
They waited long. Never mind. They meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. It was a long time ago, and I have forgotten.
Lest you remember, now that our father is dead, they asked me to say Jacob's words again. Forgive the transgression of thy brethren.
Who asked forgiveness? My brothers or dead Jacob?
Joseph.
They need no spokesman, Benjamin. The answer is written in their faces. My brothers, am I in the place of God that you fear my judgment?
Joseph, you are in the palace of Pharaoh and they fear your power.
Then I put it aside. Judah, Reuben, Simeon, I forgive you.
You are gracious. We are your bondmen.
No, Judah, no. Be my brothers.
Let me speak, Joseph.
Do you have another message from them?
What I have to say can be said only by each for himself. Joseph, I will be your brother.
I forgive you. Much will be forgotten, but what will be remembered of any man he cannot know? I would wish men to remember that Joseph was a fruitful vine, and how I, Benjamin, was his brother, and why.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Louis Weiner of Chicago, Illinois, a member of the Board of Overseers of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and Vice Chairman of the National Camp Ramah Commission. Mr. Weiner.
The story of Joseph has captured the imagination of untold generations. Its impact is due to the dramatization of the universal tensions and dilemmas of life, its fidelity to the human predicament with which we all are faced throughout our lives. For every person, like Joseph and his brothers, is both a victim of the sins committed by others upon him and a wrongdoer. And though, as in the case of the story depicted on today's Eternal Light program, the moral dilemma itself is never completely resolved, we must, as Joseph did, with complete lack of reservation, forgive those who sinned against us. We must as well repent of the evil we inflict upon others, for no one is merely a victim. We are all guilty of acting against others in our own interests. Man's inhumanity to man is not something which can be glossed over lightly, but it is a fact which must be recognized in order that we try to close the gap which prevents men from being true brothers. The ideal of brotherhood cannot be reached as long as the type of separation exists which is created by the sins committed every day by one man to another. Only when we willingly forgive those who have acted against us can this separation be breached, and brothers become brothers once again. Only when we repent of our trespasses can we be reunited with our fellow men. As we continuously strive to repent of the evil we do and to forgive others, we too, like Joseph, may grow spiritually to become fruitful vines.
Thank you, Mr. Weiner. Our Eternal Light drama today, A Fruitful Vine, was written by Joseph Mindell. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Carl Weber, Leon Janney, Ralph Camargo, Mandel Kramer, Arthur Hughes, and Dean Alquist. This is Mel Brandt. Our director was Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.